Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain. We pray, Lord, that you will bring rain in due season and bring more rain for us here because it's pretty dry. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you provide, and we just ask that you continue to provide for our growing needs, for the farmers and for our lawns and everything else to allow the flowers to come up and bloom and everything that we look forward to in spring. And we do that at this time of year. Thank you, Lord, for all you provide. And so we ask you now to fill us with the Holy Spirit, each one of us. As we've come into this place, we recognize that we can't understand your word alone. We need your help, and you have provided help for us directly through the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the implanting of the Holy Spirit in us through faith in Jesus Christ, that we are prompted, we're encouraged, we have a message many times in our lives, in our walk, whether we're witnessing to somebody or whether we're trying to come up with what we're trying to pass on to somebody else as well. So thank you, Lord, for how you are wanting to use us in your plan. And so we look forward to all that you are yet to do. We know there's a lot of things that are troubling in the future, but we know you're in charge, and so we rely upon you to guide us through the troubled times, the difficult times, and we just ask for your blessing on your church and on all those who honor you and sing praises and to you as we do this day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. I ask for a blessing on this teaching. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's have your Bibles open to Psalm 22. The actual psalm itself has 31 verses, but if you can read it, I'll read it off before we actually start reading. But I want to read Psalm 22, verse 1. I read it before last week, but I think it's worth reading it again because it's a message that Jesus spoke these words on the cross. At Psalm 22, 1. Then we'll read verses 6 and 7, 14 and 15, and then the last part of 16 and the first part, and then 18, because those are two, 16b and 18 are also things that Jesus said on the cross. And there might be some others in there too that I overlooked. So let's read this. Hopefully I can guide you as we read. So let's just read verse 1 again, be reminded of what David wrote. Remember, 1,000 years, we believe, before Jesus came and went to the cross. He writes, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" And then let's go down to verses 6 and 7, which is interesting. Those of you that were with me back when I taught on the book of Isaiah, there's passages in Isaiah that also refer to, we believe, Jesus as a worm. A scarlet worm. And so I believe this is another reference to it here when it says, "But I am a worm and not a man." This is David's words, and so he's saying that, "Scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me," and this is a reference to what happened to Jesus, "all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads." And then reading verses 14 and 15, dropping down, again, he writes, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Remember when Jesus, you lay me in the dust of death. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, he thirsted. One of the phrases he said was, I thirst. And they gave him some vinegar or something on a stick. And so it's another reference there. So, and then the last part of verse 16, because this again is something that reminds us of what happened with Jesus on the cross. It first talks about dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men has encircled me, just like the soldiers did on the cross, when he was on the cross. And then this phrase, that last part, they have pierced my hands and my feet. And that's what happened to Jesus. And then verse 18, to finish, you know, what I want to read in this for your reflection. And this is the exact quote from John, the Gospel of John. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. We remember that account. They took his garments and cast lots to see who would get them. So anyway, so this psalm is good to read in its totality. Just in the interest of time, I'll leave it for you guys to read again as much as you want to. And if you want to come back with any comments you have at a later point, that's fine too. So, but I'll stop there with Psalm 22 and move on to Psalm 24 and read verse 1 and then 7 to 10, the last part of the last three verses, or four verses. But verse 1 we start with. And so here, again, a psalm of David. The earth, this is a reminder, the earth is the Lord's, it's his, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We all need to remember that when we see, you know, in a sense, in our world today, with all the uproar and everything that's going on, you know, I'd say the majority of the world don't see it this way. God is in charge of this earth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And that's a lot of what's wrong in our world today. We leave God out of the equation. And so that's important to know. Then verses 7 to 10 in Psalm 24, where it says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, Yahweh, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord, Yahweh, almighty. He is the King of glory. So we constantly, how many times was it said here? Reminding that he is the King of glory. He's in charge. He's in control. We sometimes see the world out of control, but he's still in control. All these things will play out, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's what we have to be reminded of. And then we go on to Psalm 26, and I'm just going to read verses 2 and 3 to get an impression of these. There's 12 verses in this psalm, but I'm just going to read 2 and 3, where it says, test me. Now, I don't know if we do that in our prayers, in a regular time of intimacy with the Lord, but I think we should, particularly when we know we've struggled with things or we've done something wrong, you know, just go to the Lord. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. And that's another important reminder. It's not, you know, individual's truth, because we know what the world is telling us. My truth is as good as your truth, or your truth is as good as mine, and, you know, as I see it, that's truth. No, that's not truth. The only truth is comes from God himself. That's that righteousness of God, the righteousness and the measuring line. You know, we need to be reminded of that. He's laid out the measuring line and the plumb line. And so if we don't follow it, you see what happens. You know, we're witnessing it right today in our world. You know, how much goes astray when we don't follow it. So, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your, what? Truth. So walk in the truth of God, not in what you think is truth. Trust in him. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. And so I read that verse in addition just to kind of finish this thought. So let's go on to Psalm 28. Again, David's psalm. We'll read verses 6 to 9. These are the last, four verses. Praise be to the Lord, Yahweh, and he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord, Yahweh, is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be your shepherd and carry them forever. I think I counted the number of Lords in that 28. No, it's the next one, 29. 29, Lord, Yahweh, is said 18 times in 29. So we'll go on to 29 here. Verses 10 and 11 is all I will read, but if you read the whole thing, you have 18 Yahwehs in this 11-verse psalm. So 10 and 11, the last two verses. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king. How long? Forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So if we're obedient to him, we follow him, we do our very best to serve him and lift him up in our lives and before others, he will honor us in a way that will guide us and strengthen us and embolden us. So that's 29, 30, 4 and 5, and 11 and 12. 4 and 5, and this is kind of an encouragement as we read this. Sing to the Lord, Yahweh, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. We should be reminded of that every time we sing hymns, every time we lift up our voices in song. Sing to the Lord. I don't know if you do it. I probably don't do it like I should. But when we sing, whether in church here or you may be singing along with a song on the radio or whatever at home, are you reflecting upon who you're singing to? Are you just singing to hear yourself sing, or are you really directing it? And I think the importance here is directing it. So, sing to the Lord, you saints of his praise. of his praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment. Aren't we grateful for that? But his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You've probably heard that phrase. Some have used it in their teachings and so forth. What comes in the morning? Rejoicing comes in the morning. Even if we're weeping at night, even if we're struggling with something, we can be sure that God will bring us to a point of rejoicing in the morning. And then verses 11 and 12, the last two verses. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. And that should be part of our continuing prayers. Lift up our thanks and praise to God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Where am I at? 31? 31. 31, verse 5 and verse 24. So verse 5 and then 24 is the last verse. So 5, into your hands I commit my spirit. Again, we're kind of reminded of what Jesus said on the cross to the Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. And then verse 24. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord, Yahweh. So that's where we put our hope. That's where we put our trust. That's where we put our confidence. And then when we do that, I believe God responds and guides us and encourages us along the journey, even when things are not so good in our lives. 32, 1 to 5, and then the last verse, 11. 1 to 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. That's a very important phrase. Acknowledge your sin. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Confess it. Ask God for forgiveness. And go on. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. And verse 11, the last verse again. A lot of times the last verse in each one of these psalms, you know, is poignant. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Be sure your heart is right. You know, we can sometimes struggle with our thoughts, our mind, and get off track. But be sure what you believe, because belief resides in the heart. And so if you have firm belief, if you put your trust where it needs to be, you can always fall back on that. Upright in heart. Psalm 33, I just picked 5. This is the verse in Psalm 33 that spoke particularly to me, and you can probably see why. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Yeah, righteousness and justice. I guess I've probably said enough about that through the times of this teaching, but I can't help but see it. Every time I see it in God's word, I have to stop and reflect upon it, because that is how God operates. It's perfect alignment. Perfect alignment. And I believe it pictures the cross. It pictures what God was willing to do, sending his son and Jesus dying to make things right, bring justice, and show his righteousness. Okay, Psalm 33, by the way, is not written by David. We don't know for sure who wrote it, but somebody unknown. And so that I just had the one stanza that I quoted. 34, we'll start with 1 to 3. I will extol the Lord at all times, not just sometimes, all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. So even a poor man that calls upon the Lord, and the Lord hears him. And then verses 12 to 19, the last part of, or major section of this. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, I think we all hope for that. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. That should always be the way we operate. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's his promise. And so we should take advantage of that. Let's see, 34, yeah. 35, Psalm 35, I just have the one verse, verse 28, the last verse of this psalm. It's good to read the whole thing. I encourage you again, go back on your own. Maybe have a time that you select for yourself, whether it's a time during each day or once a week or whatever it is. But go back and kind of go through the Psalms and see what you haven't seen before or can't remember seeing before. So Psalm 35, verse 28. My tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praises all day long. That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's what we should do. Psalm 36, 5 to 7, and 9 and 10. 5 to 7, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness, again, is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. I'm not bringing these words up on my own. This is God's word continuing to remind us of what alignment there is with his way. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings. And then I go to verse 9 and 10. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, God's light, we see light. So if you want to see light, follow God's lead. He'll show you the light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart, and may the, let's see, that's right, 9 and 10. Yeah, continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. So that's what I had for 36. 37, I think we can probably finish this today if I... 37 has several verses that I want to cover. So we'll read 4 to 7 to begin with here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. 8 to 13, reading on. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. Then 23 to 31. Now this is a rather long psalm, so I've kind of selected some sections of it. 23 to 31. Mark my... If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. 34, wait for the Lord and keep His way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And then the last verses 39 and 40, completing the psalm. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. That's 37, 38, 15, verse 15, and 21 to 22. 15 reads, I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord my Savior. 39. 21 and 22 also. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me. O my God, come quickly to help me. O Lord, my Savior. 39, verses 4 and 5 and 6 to 13. So I guess basically 4 to 13 on 39. Show me, O Lord, my life's end. How many of us want to know that ahead of time? Probably not. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. You rebuke and discipline men for their sin. You consume their wealth like a moth. Each man is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Be not deaf to my weeping, for I dwell with you as an alien, a stranger, as all my fathers were. Look away from me, that I may rejoice again before I depart and am no more. And Psalm 40, 1 to 5 here to begin with. I wait patiently for the Lord. I just think about that. I guess I've gotten more patient as I've gotten older, but I'm still not very patient, I have to admit. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods? Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. So then 8 to 11. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. And then verse 16, which is the next to last verse. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. And then we conclude, and we're just about ready to stop here. Psalm 41, 1 to 4 and 10 to 13. So 1 to 4 first. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. The Lord will sustain him, on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. I said, O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. And then 10 to 13, which are the last verses of the psalm in this book. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And that's how it concludes David's Psalms in Book 1. So we'll stop there for today, and we'll move on in Book 2. Book 2 is a little shorter as far as number of psalms. And again, I guess the way I've approached it today for the most part is probably how I'm going to proceed with the other books, unless there's something in them. When we get to Psalm 119, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, because when I taught on Psalm 119, 176 verses, some years ago, there's just a lot in that psalm that, you know, you could teach on probably for a number of weeks, and I won't do that, but I'll have to see how I approach that. I really haven't thought through it yet. So anyway, we'll continue on, and we'll go into Book 2 next week and continue our journey through the Psalms. So let's pray as we prepare ourselves for a time of worship this day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for this place that you have given us to come into and gather and fellowship and learn, but also to have fellowship with one another and give you the praise and the glory as we worship you in this place. So we thank you for this time you've given us in your word in the Psalms. And now we thank you ahead of time for what you have prepared for our worship service. And we thank you for each part of the worship service that's been prepared. We thank you for the prayers that will be lifted up and answered. We pray to you, O Lord, that you will answer them in your timing. But we thank you for them ahead of time. We pray for the scripture that will be read this day from the last chapter of Daniel. And we pray for the message that Raymond will give us to conclude, I believe, the book of Daniel today. And so we thank you for each part of that. We thank you for the music that's been selected and played and we can sing to. We thank you for, just in general, for the people who will come into this place this day. We pray that their faith will be strengthened, they'll be encouraged, they will receive an imparting of the Holy Spirit to guide them as they move forward in their life. Anyone that comes into this place this day, lifting them up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer now. But we thank you ahead of time for the prayers and the message that will be given during our time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.